Welcome back to Stateside, where we continue our look at military veterans in Michigan. Yesterday on the show, we talked about the disconnect between saying that we want to help our veterans and support them and actually putting dollars and policy into place that does that. Today, we turn our focus to mental health. Data from Veterans Affairs estimates about 22 vets a day are committing suicide. 22 a day. And it's estimated 1 in 5 veterans of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq has been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. There are dozens of programs in the military that have been set up to help treat the mental illness and the troubles that vets are suffering. But a panel of experts recently studied these programs from the Department of Defense and came to an unsettling conclusion. There's no evidence these programs actually work. The report shows the programs were not created from evidence-based research, and they do not have an evaluation process to see if they're effective or not.
They're doing an awful lot and spending an awful lot of money, scarce resources, the public's resources, and they don't have anything necessarily to show for it.
That's Kenneth Warner. He chaired the research panel, and he's with the Department of Health Management and Policy in the School of Public Health at the University of Michigan. Welcome, Kenneth.
Thank you.
Why do you think this is? Why was that big piece of the puzzle, hey, let's find out based on theory and evidence, let's use science to find out if they work. Why was that piece missing, do you think?
I'm sorry to say this, but I think this is probably characteristic of most large organizations, not just the military. There is a tendency to jump at programs that sound good. And people who are not themselves trained in research, who are not themselves oriented toward a serious evaluation of programming, don't think about it. Mm. And they say, this sounds like a good program. You know, this is a great one. It's going to involve all the following people. It's got the right kinds of questions in it. And it's easy to understand how they would just want to move forward with that rather than going to the trouble, and it is a lot of trouble, of researching and evaluating what they're doing.
Ken, I'm interested, when I think of the historic context of this, and I have to, and we will start by saying you're not in the military, and that was why you were brought in to do this study.
No, not simply I'm not in the military.
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of personal expertise in the area of military health. I'm in public health, and I was selected to be the chair of the committee because the Institute of Medicine always selects as its chairs people who are not involved in the work that is being evaluated so that they will be objective observers and objective chairs of the committee.
Sure, bringing in very, very fresh eyes.
Right.
I have done volunteer work with World War II veterans, and these folks came home from Europe and the Pacific. They might have got the GI benefits for college, but they were literally on their own in terms of dealing with the battle fatigue or shell shock or the nightmares that persisted. No one talked of PTSD, and nothing existed to help that. Do you think this situation could exist because the military is relatively new at trying to support and intervene in the mental health issues of our vets?
Well, I think this is a general commentary on society. We know that mental health has been kind of the stepchild of the healthcare field for decades. As I noted, one of the nice features of the study was recognizing that the military is putting psychological health on the same level as physical health now. Mm-hmm. So again, I applaud the military for taking this on, for recognizing the problem and attempting to do something about it. And our report, while it's certainly critical mm-hmm. of the approach they have taken, is intended to be constructive criticism, to help them to figure out how to do this much more effectively and efficiently so that they can help more people either avoid health problems in the first instance or minimize their impact once the time of onset.
And timing of this, you were saying this is not an easy thing to do, to get this scientific evidence-based protocol in place. Yet we're seeing drawdown. We are seeing more and more of these soldiers and Marines and sailors coming home from Iraq and Afghanistan. So you're going to have the veteran population increasing dramatically.
The veteran population is increasing. The military is drawing down, but it's also shrinking. It's
yes.
going to get smaller. And it's not only going to be on a war footing for the first time in many, many years. So that is going to turn things around a bit. And they're going to have to look at the implications of that. It is very important to note that while the suicide rate among the military has increased, it is not particularly associated with deployment. So we're seeing suicide rates going up among military members, whether or not they have been deployed. So one of the really important questions we were not able to answer, but that needs to be examined, is are we looking at a more general societal effect in the cross-section of the population that is drawn to the military? Some of the problems, some of the mental health problems that exist among military members and their family result from the background that they come from. It's the people who are chosen to be in the military to some extent. And we don't know what those effects are. But we do know that a lot of the mental health problems we're observing do not appear to be related to deployment per se. Now, of course, there are many that are related. Mm-hmm. But we don't want people to think that the mental health problems associated with the military and their family members are simply a result of deployment into a war setting. These are more general than that.
So what we're seeing is with our all-volunteer military, people are volunteering, coming in many cases, dragging problems along with them.
Exactly. And one of the important questions is what kind of screening is the military doing at the point of accession? Mm. When they're recruiting, how carefully are they looking to find whether the people they are recruiting and eventually are asking to join the military are suitable for that, or how many of them are coming with too much psychological baggage themselves?
So if I'm a veteran or I love a veteran, what should I take away from your study?
You should take away two things. One is that the military does care, and the military is trying to figure out what to do. And the second is they aren't doing that terribly well at this point. They have not approached it from a good evidence-based approach to this. They have not evaluated the programs they have undertaken. And a consequence is that the effects that they desire, the benefits that they want to realize for service members and their families, are probably smaller in actual accomplishment than what the resources might be able to produce if they were involving more research and doing more evaluation of their programming.
A fascinating conversation on a very, very important subject. Ken Warner, professor at the University of Michigan School of Public Health, he chaired a panel of experts from the Institute of Medicine reviewing programs in place to help veterans and their families. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much.